prayer to the neshama of my late mother, Chana Feige, Bas Rabbi Leo. Your son was last Wednesday. Rabbi Yitzchak Hershkiewicz, Shlita, tells the following story. In America, there was a young kollel, a younger man, who was a boichein. Boichein means his job was to go around and test for hair. Not maybe a strict for hair, but to feel out the bachurim's learning. He would go from place to place, from school to school, from yeshiva to yeshiva, testing the boys, seeing how they learn. And he came to a yeshiva, and he was very, very impressed with a certain boy called Moshe. Very, very impressed. He was able to answer all the kashas. He was able to understand all the kedushim. He was able to bring rayas. He was very, very impressed. And the next few times that this boychein came to this yeshiva, he was more and more impressed with Moshe each time. Once he arrived at the yeshiva, to this very same yeshiva, and he came to Faher the Bachrim, Moshe was not there. Moshe ain't there. So he carried on Fahering and testing and talking and learning, Kedushim, etc., etc. Afterwards, he came to the Rosh Yeshiva and he said, "Where's Moshe?" He could see that the Rosh Yeshiva was, as we call it, humming and harring. He began to ask a few more people, any idea where Moshe is? Humming and harring, humming. He couldn't get an answer. Until eventually he found out. I'm not going into Hilchos Lashon Hara, etc., etc., but the Te'eles he found out. He found out that unfortunately this Moshe had fallen in company with bad company, bad friends from another yeshiva, not this yeshiva. And one Yom Kippur, when the residents of the house of houses were in shul, this Moshe had gone with a few other boys, company, companions from other yeshivas, and they'd broken into Yiddish houses while the Balabatim were in shul and had stolen items from the house, from the houses. Wow. Immediately, everybody would have thought that this boychein would say, all my learning with him was a waste of time, all my dealings with him were a waste of time, all the chidushim, all the questions, all the answers, all amount to absolutely nothing. This fellow on Yom Kippur should come and break into houses and steal? Forget all the learning. He found out that because this boy had been such a good learner, he'd been so shakua in learning, that the Rosh Hashiva had done an amazing thing, and he'd arranged for this Moshe to go and live in a yeshiva out of town with dormitories, a kind of rehabilitation. And he would be there in this other yeshiva out of town. The boychein found out the address of this other yeshiva with the dormitories, and he wrote a letter to Moshe. In that letter, of course, there was no mention of any misdemeanor, no mention that he found out they'd done anything wrong, no mention that he'd been expelled, chas v'shalom, nothing. "Dear Moshe, I hear that you've changed yeshivas. Oh, obviously this one is better for you. Okay. But because my learning with you was so fantastic and I enjoyed your chidushim and I enjoyed your answers so much that I would like to continue the correspondence. And even though your new yeshiva is not within my remit of coming to be boychein there, I can't just walk in, nevertheless, by letter correspondence, I would like to continue writing to you, listening to you, receiving chidushim from you. I'll supply questions, you give me answers. Wow. Moshe received this letter and he broke into tears. Sobs, sobs, sobs. He couldn't believe it. He thought this Bochum would surely find out what it's all about, and he would dismiss him, he would disown him. He was sure of that. This Bochum had written such a beautiful letter that Moshe wrote back, and he wrote back Chidushei Torah. And the correspondence continued between the Bochum and the Moshe again and again and again. And he continued to reward him for his good answers and good chidushim and good kashas and good tirutzim. Until this Moshe completely turned, he became a complete Baal Teshuvah in the 100% form of the words. And he turned his life around. And today, obviously without giving any names away, today he's a Choshuvah Balabas. Maybe even more than the Balabas, he's a Choshuvah Ben Torah, and his children, and maybe by now Eidekler Chalavai, completely turned. This Bochum, we could almost say, saved the neshama of this Moshe, and maybe he even saved the guf of this Moshe, who knows. Completely turned around. He put the self-esteem and the self-worth back into this boy who must have felt at his lowest possible ebb. What drove him to steal on Yom Kippur, nobody knows. What drove him to join that heaven in the first place, nobody knows. But the fact is that the Yetzirah had been able to drag him far down, Sha'ol Tachtis, and this Moshe, this Bochum, had been able to pull him up to great heights. Pull him up by the way he conducted, by the way he wrote to him and was mishtasheya with him, etc., etc., etc. Every morning, Moide ani lefonecha melechai v'kayom shehechezarto bi nishmosi. Eivishter, I thank you. This morning you gave me back my neshama. Has anybody ever asked, what's the point of taking away in the first place? Hechazarto bi nishmosi. If a person's been given 90 years, 100 years, 120 years to live, why can't the neshama be there all the time? What's this business of every night going to Shamayim and being returned? It's very nice, Hashem returns it in the morning. Thank you, Abraham. But what's the point of it? What's the hechazarto bi nishmosi? Hechazarto bi nishmosi, the Eibishter takes Zohar, Kabbalah, the Eibishter takes on the Shama, and the Eibishter is Mishtasheya. The Eibishter fondles with our Neshama. He admires our Neshama, he appreciates our Neshama, and he takes every single Masim Tovim that we have done during the day, and he's mishtasheya with each and every deed that deed has beautified our neshama. You might say, me? I'm a nobody. Who am I? What do I do already? I daven a shacharis, I daven a mincha. Well, so I think anyway. I daven a ma'ariv, I gobble a benching, I gobble brachas. He's going to take what I do and mishtasheya? What is there to be mishtasheya? The first lesson to learn straight away now, here and now, is there is no such thing as what am I. No such thing. If the Eibishter can take on the Shoma, and he takes on the Shoma, and he spreads it around Shomayim with loads and loads and loads of other Neshomas. Neshamas of today and neshamas of the past. My neshama could be next to the Chofetz Chaim's neshama. Could be next to the Mekiveya's neshama. All the neshamas are there. The Eibishter doesn't need any name tags. Davidson doesn't need any electronic tags. He knows exactly which guth to return each neshama. Each neshama gets returned to its rightful owner each morning. Hechezarta bi nishmasi. After having been mishtasheya with our neshama. So when a person wakes up in the morning, it's not just, oh, another day. It's another day after the Eibishter has taken my neshama and he's enjoyed my neshama. He's appreciated everything I do. He's appreciated the fact that you can come together on a Monday morning and come into a Beis HaMedrash. This fact, Hashem takes our neshama, me ke'amcho Yisrael, who's sitting and being mishtasheya in Torah, I'll be mishtasheya with his neshama. And this happens night in, night out, day in, day out. Ve'atem tiyu li mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. You shall be for me a kingdom of koyanim. Koyanim doesn't only mean koyanim, of course. It includes Levim and Yisraelim too. V'goy kodesh. Now don't forget that only less than 49 days before those words were said, we were at the 49th level of Tumah. We couldn't get any lower. If we went any lower, we'd be like the pea who dissolves in the soup. We'd be gone. We'd be finished. There would not have been Chal Yisrael. There would not be Start Your Day the Torah Way. There would not be Chal Yisrael. Until it came to Har Sinai, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Wow. We changed from the lowest level, Mentes Share Tumah, and we came to Tiuli Mamleches Koyanim V'Goy Kodesh. Every morning a person wakes up and he says, Hashem has said to me that I should be part of this mamlocha. Kingdom. Kingdom means, says the Kedushas Levi, I can change the gezeira of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I can change a decree. A king has got the power to change the decree. There could be a decree in the world, and Klal Yisrael, each member of Klal Yisrael, is able to change that decree. Mamleches, a kingdom, the Goy Kodesh. What is the opposite of that? The opposite of that is what the Meraglim said. The Meraglim said, Vanehi be'einenu kachagovim. We felt that we were grasshoppers compared to these massive, huge, dirty, great big giants that we saw in Canaan. We felt like grasshoppers. V'chein hoyinu be'einehem. And so we were in their eyes. I can understand why it says the last part, that we were in their eyes like grasshoppers. But why do they have to say, V'anehi be'einenu kachagovim? We, in our own eyes, we felt like grasshoppers. And the answer is, it's a sequence. Because you felt in your eyes like grasshoppers, because you harbored on the fact that you're small compared to their huge size, that's why v'chein hoyinu be'einehem. That's why they treated us like grasshoppers. That's why they treated us like locusts, like ants. Because that is how you felt about yourself. These people were Kulam Anoshim, Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema. They were chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu over their whole Shevet. Amazing. And Rashi calls them Kesherim. Oysoshah Kesherim. So what went wrong? What went wrong? What failed so miserably? They did not take into effect, into their mind, the Kulam Anoshim Roshei B'nei Yisrael Hema, and Vayigva Liboy Badarke Hashem, and instead they went Vanahi Be'einenu Kachagovim. They looked at the size of the giants compared to them, as opposed to looking at the godless they had compared to Kulam Anoshim Roshe B'nei Yisrael Heva. That's what they should have done. If a person feels small about himself, when a person says, I'm a yeshiva bocher learning in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm keeping Eretz Yisrael going by my learning, that's how a bocher should speak. I am causing the nitzachon, I am causing the winning, I am causing the victory, because I am learning Torah. That's how strong my Torah is. I am keeping up the world. By sitting and learning Torah with a sefer in front of me, I'm keeping up the world. No more, no less. Im loy berisi yoimon v'layla, chukoy shomayim v'oretz loy samti. I would not have made Shomayim V'oretz, and therefore, now that I'm learning, I'm keeping up the world. This is what I am. So you might say, all this sounds too proud, too balgaivadic. What about Anova that we've always been learning about? What about Anivus? What about Moed Moed Habeshval Ruach? And the answer is, it's no stira, it's no contradiction. When it comes to Gashmias, when it comes to things dealing with my car or my house or my holiday or my or whatever goes on in the world, I'm happy to do Anivus. I'm not so clever, fine, I'm not so clever. I'm not so rich, fine, I'm not so rich. But when it comes to taking the value of your Avodas Hashem, then there's no place anymore for Anivus. Then it's Vayigva Liboy B'Darkei Hashem. Because if you don't do that, people will turn around to you and say, your learning is of no value, go into the army. Your learning means nothing at all. You're allowing other people to fight while you're not fighting. And the answer is, no, I am fighting. I'm fighting strong. You're fighting, you're sitting and learning. Yes, I'm keeping the world going. Chukoy Shomayim V'oretz. I'm being salty by my learning. That's what I'm doing. And that is part of the koyach that I've got. By the fact that Hashem has taken our neshama to Shamayim every night, shows a person, look, your neshama can reach great heights. And now I'm bringing the neshama back to you. But don't forget the great height. I can't go so high. This is as far as I can go. No. The proof is the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach had to be The Mizbeach had to be a slope, not steps. So the Torah gives the reason, the Balei Machshava, the Balei Musa say a tremendous thing. What is the difference between steps and a slope? When you walk up steps and you get tired in the middle, you can stop. Will you fall? No, I'm on a step. It's nice and flat. I can be there half a day. A slope? Oh no! A slope, you've got to keep on moving. Because if you stop in the middle of a slope, what's going to happen eventually? You'll begin to slide. You've got to keep on moving higher and higher. Every day, say to yourself, wow, my neshama's been on high last night. I can be on high today. I can reach great heights today. Tonight, Be'ezras Hashem, our neshama will go to Shemayim again. Tomorrow morning, wow, even greater heights. Because tonight, our neshama has been with Heiligen Neshamas of all over the world, of past and present, maybe future, I don't know, but certainly together with past and present, wow. This is the Chelek Elokai, Neshamo Shenosata Bi Tehoirahi, Hochein Atzmachol Mekabel Torah for the very next day. Biyodcha Afkid Ruchi, we say. The Eibishter Afkid Ruchi gives over my Ruach. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, was proficient b'chol ha'Torah kula. He came down after 40 days, a man of over 80, and he was able to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. As we're standing now, on the 24th of Av, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for us. Davening and davening, that Abishah should keep us as a nation, Abishah should forgive us for the ego. Moshe Rabbeinu came down on the 29th of Av, and he went again on Rosh Chodesh Elul to receive the brand new Luchas. There were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know. And Moshe Rabbeinu niskasha. He found it difficult to understand. And the Eibishter explained it to him. The Eibishter showed him a vision. One of them was the Menorah. The other one was Shekalim. He couldn't understand the exact Midah and Mishkan of a Shekel. Machtis HaShekel. And the other one was Kiddush HaChodesh HaChodesh. These three things Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand. Moshe Rabbeinu was called Moshe. Mem Shin Hey. Menorah Shekalim HaChodesh. He was called after the three things that he did not understand. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the whole Torah. He couldn't be called anything. No. I'm calling you true Kibbel HaMayim Meshisu. Of course, that's the pshat of the Bas Pari who gave him the name. But you should know Moshe. Don't dwell, oh dear, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was named after those three things that he couldn't do. Menorah Shekalim HaChodesh. And even if we turn round the words Menorah Shekalim HaChodesh, the end of Shekalim is a Mem, the end of HaChodesh is a Shein, and the end of Menorah is a Hey. You've got Moshe at the beginning, and you've got Moshe at the end, Seif Tevos as well. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how we're defined. We're not defined by how much we know. The famous story in Volozhin, of the great Seyid who came to Volozhin, he was looking for a son-in-law for his husband, for his daughter, looking for a son-in-law. And he came into the yeshiva, and he said to the Rosh Yeshiva, can you find me a bocha? Who is the most choshev bocha? So Reb Chaim Volozhin said, Kulam Anoshim, they're all chachomim, kulonu chachomim, kulonu nevoinim. He said, okay, I'll ask a question, and whoever can give me an answer, give me an answer. You've all heard the story anyway, so I'll make it very brief. He asked a question, cues and cues of buffering cage to try and give the answer. He disproved all their answers until it came to the last day. Nobody gave any answers. I'm awfully sorry, I'm going. And as he was on his way, traveling further and further away, all of a sudden, he hears running and running and running and running. Who does he see? He sees a bocher running towards the carriage. Ah, here's somebody who thinks he's got an answer. He thinks he's, oh, okay, let's hear his answer. The bocher is out of breath and the sweat's pouring down him and he's exhausted. And he gets to the carriage. And however they unwound the window in those days, unwound the window, and he looked at the bocher and he said, so you have an answer, young man, huh? He says, no, Rebbe, I don't have an answer. You've run all this way and you haven't got an answer. Please, Rebbe, I can't bear to be without the answer. You tell me the answer. Ah, this is the husband for my daughter. This is my future son-in-law. Do you think I cared whether anybody can know the answer, can work out the exact answer to that particular kasha. I want to know his cheshek. I want to know his striving. He wants to be better. He wants to learn. Like in our story before with Moshe, he'd reached rock bottom. He'd come to a stage. He'd come to a stage where on Yom Kippur never he did what he did with bad company. And if that Boichan would have written to him and said, how could you? I wrote to you and you despised everything. You cheated me. You lied to me. You're a no-gooder. What would have happened? Anybody's guess. But he didn't do that. He turned him around and he wrote to him in such a wonderful way. Nobody should feel, what am I worth? I can't do it. My brachas will never ever be good brachas. No, your next bracha can be better than the one before. My benching can never be a good benching. It's always going to be a... No, your benching could be fantastic from now on. And each one can be better than the one before. Harechev picha. All you have to do is widen your mouth. Va'amal ehu. I will fill it. If the Eibusha says I'll fill it, it means our neshamas, our mouth, can be full. Otherwise, the Eibusha wouldn't say it. The Eibusha wouldn't tell a lie. Va'amal ehu. Each one of us can have a full neshama. Each one of us can be full. I brought you up. We'll just finish off. In that Pasuk Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, it says, Atem tiyu li segula mikol ha'amim. Segula, a chosen treasure. Yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. Yes. Atem tiyu li Mamleches Kohanim. The Yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. You shall be a chosen treasure. What does it mean that Abish has called us a chosen treasure? There was a story in Hungary. As we know, 1944, the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, came into Hungary and took everybody away, town after town. There was one young woman. She'd worked for many years before the war, obviously, on a tapestry. She'd made a tapestry. She'd made a tapestry with pictures of her life and her mother, her parents' life and her grandparents' life. It was a huge tapestry that she'd made. Pictures depicting all their lives. It filled a huge wall up to the ceiling. On the day they had to leave their home, Nabuch, in 1944, they took everything. They took their gold and their silver, and she took this tapestry and she rolled it up, thinking, I'll never see it again. I've worked 19 years on it, but I'll never see it again. That's it. And they left, taken to Auschwitz. Most of the family didn't survive. The younger ones, after the war, came back to Hungary. And they came back to the home where they lived. And they came. They couldn't find any gold. They couldn't find any silver. All been taken not only by the Nazis, but even by the wonderful Hungarian people. All our friends and neighbours that we'd borrowed sugar from. All those neighbours had stolen everything, all the gold, all the silver, everything. And they came and they looked around, bits and bobs here and there to take, and that's it. All of a sudden, a neighbour came running in. I've got something for you, which I knew you might want one day. I never knew whether you'd come back, but you've come back. Come next door and I'll give it to you. And she came next door, and guess what it was? You haven't guessed at all, have you? No, but I'll tell you anyway. She came and she saw that rolled up tapestry. That tapestry was there, intact. Nobody wanted it, it didn't mean anything to anybody. That is segula. That is chosen treasure. This is not pie in the sky. This is not fairy tales. This is what Abish has called us. We are the rolled up tapestry of that Hungarian lady of 1945 who came back after the war. This is, we are the Abishters rolled up chosen tapestry. Ah, what are we already? Abish cares what I do. You think he cares how I daven? You think he cares how much kindness I do? You think he cares? Ah, he's got much bigger things on his plate. He's worried about Eretz Yisrael, he's worried about Ukraine and Zelensky and Trump and all the other big shots. What does he care about me? Ve'yisem li segula, you are the chosen tapestry. How can you imagine how that woman took that tapestry, how she thanked that neighbor, and how she treasured it? I don't know where it is today. Halavai is still in the family's possession. Let's hope it is. We are segula mikol ha'amim. We have to appreciate it, and we have to live by it. And if we live by it, then the Eibushter will send us, which I heard from Rav Shapiro Shlita, shaleach to shalach es ha'aim. It's time to send away the mother. Amen. In all our goddess until now, we've always had aim to help us. In Mitzrayim, we had aim, Aleph Mem, Aaron and Moshe. In the Purim story, we had Esther and Mordechai. If it's a shame when it comes to Bias HaGoyel, we should have Eliyahu and Moshiach. Shaleach to Shalach es ha'aim. Please send us Moshiach to Kenu. Please send us Eliyahu and Moshiach. We should be Zoicha to Vesabonim Tikach Loch V'harachto Yom.
Shabbat shalom.